Good evening. How is everybody doing today? Good? Tired? Yeah. So I have a big challenge tonight, and it's keeping you guys from praying through my message. Because last night there were some very spiritual people that prayed through half of it. Like, they were deeply into prayer. Like, wow, how spiritual are people here at IBF? You know, so we'll see how many spiritual people we have tonight. Hopefully, not so many. but I know you're tired. I know it's been long days. Let's be honest, long nights rather than long days. But so far, I think the Lord really wants to talk to us. And he has a message for us that he's been dealing with throughout the whole week. I love conferences. I love these places. It's great. It's encouraging. You know, it's friendship. It's fun. But at the same time, it's occasions where I have no distractions around me, and I can hear clearly the voice of God. And that's what I desire for you guys tonight, that you may hear something that God has from you. And if you make an effort, you know, tonight, just for the next 30, 35 minutes, right, make a big effort and focus and try to listen to what God has to say. And I'm sure that you'll be blessed by that, because that's the power of the Word of God. So, have you ever had an extreme high followed by an absolute low? I was 18. I had the car for my first time. And I was in an extreme high, okay? My dad was really loved his car. And just the fact that he would have given me the keys so I could go to school in the car was mind-blowing to me, okay? I was going to arrive to school in a car. And I thought, that is so cool, right? I had the radio ready. I know what songs I needed to play. And I was in this extreme high. I was so excited and so happy. Get the car out. I'm really careful with it. You know, I drive to school. I'm looking everywhere like I'm driving my dad's car. But I get to school and everything's fine. That's great. I feel even more confident, right? Even more happy. And then I park the car. And as I'm parking the car, there's this metal tube right on the left side of it, right? And I'm parking, and I'm looking this way and the other way, and then I just keep looking on the mirror on this side, and I'm just backing forward, and then I hear. My soul sank. And every single hair in my arms was like, bing, shot up. Open the car, get around, and there is a scratch this big in the side of a car. And now I go from the highest high that I had ever been into the lowest point of my life at that point. I was like so worried, so sad, so stressed out, and completely afraid of going back home and telling my dad, yep, the first time that you gave me the keys of the car, I made a huge scratch on it. After that, I didn't want to drive for a while, a long while. I don't think my dad wanted me to drive for a long while either. But it was such a big, like a low, low. And that's just a funny anecdote, but don't we have those spiritually as well? Has that ever happened to you spiritually? You know, you're in this great high. Maybe out of a conference, maybe out of a retreat, maybe out of a mission trip, maybe out of a great sermon, or maybe just out of some type of fellowship with friends that have been really encouraging. And your heart is on fire, and your soul is ready to go for Christ, and you're like, yeah, let's do it. This world is Christ. We're going to go for it. I'm going to make an effort. I'm going to love Christ. And you're in this great high. And then a scratch happens. You get mad at your parents, something bad happens to you or a friend, there's health issues, or maybe that sin you've been battling, you know, shows up again and you fall once more, and you are completely and absolutely defeated. And you come from being in this position of, I'll do anything for Christ, to this place where you're like, I just want to die. I don't even know if I'm a believer. How can I pray if I fail God again? How can I approach God if, look, I failed once more? I don't understand what God is doing in my life right now. Why are bad things happening? And we're in this really low point of our lives. Has that ever happened to you? Yes? No? Yes? Okay, good. I was like, whoa. I thought you were going to be very spiritual on me right now. I was like, wow, the whole crowd, that's very special. It has happened to all of us. And tonight's passage is about how it happened to a man of God like Elijah. So yesterday, we saw Elijah's highest high, the pinnacle of his ministry, the confrontation, the epic battle between Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal. And we were reminded of how Elijah had this amazing faith that trusted God and confronted the culture, confronted the authorities, and believed that God could do something, and prayed for a miracle, and something supernatural did happen. And the people saw that, and they were declaring, "The Lord is God, the Lord is God." And every single one of those 450 prophets was killed at that moment. Now, that is a high. That was the best thing that Elijah could have accomplished. How would you have felt if you were on Elijah's shoes? Like, if you accomplished the biggest dream that you have right now in your mind, like, bring it to your head right now. Like, what is the biggest thing that you dream about doing ever in your life? It could be anything from playing in an NBA game to getting married, whatever you have in your head. And then imagine the happiness that you would feel if you accomplish that high. And that's where Elijah was. Now, if you have your Bibles with me, let's read and see how Elijah goes from a super high to an incredible low. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Now read along with me. I'll be from ESV version. And it says, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." And then he was afraid. And he arose and he ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. That is not a different person. That is the same Elijah. His heart was failing. His emotions were completely down. His faith was all lacking. Where does he go from here? Now, the reason I want to give you this message tonight. The reason that I want to share the word of God with you tonight is because I believe that some of you are in that moment right now in your spiritual lives. And some of you will be there in the future. And you need to hear what God has provided for us when our heart and when our faith fails. Because guess what? We are humans and we do fail. We get discouraged and God knows that. Our faith is not perfect and God knows that. And in His love and His mercy for all of us, He has made provision for those moments in our lives when everything else fails. What do you do when your heart fails? You know, when you are in the position like Elijah was right then. Do you see his words? He's not like, oh, I feel a little sad. You know, it's like, I had a bad day. No. I mean, just picture him, all right? The mighty prophet and warrior Elijah who confronted the 450 prophets who just eliminated every one of them. Now lies defeated under a tree in the middle of nowhere alone and says, I want to die. There's no lowest point than that. He has lost all the energy he has even to live. His heart has failed. Now the question is, what is God going to do? Is God going to reject him? Is God going to say like, I knew it. It was too good to be true. Finally, a man that would oppose the prophets, and now, like every other person, he surrenders. Would God look at him and be angry at Elijah just because, you know, he was not able to fulfill the expectations? How will God help him? And how can Elijah come back from this moment? That's what I would like for us to see in this passage. How do we deal with our emotions? Now, you know, James says that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, right? It says with likewise passions in some versions. Now, when you read the first chapter, when you read chapter 18, you think to yourself, yeah, there's no way I can be like Elijah. Like, there's no way I can be that brave. There's no way I can be that, you know, faithful. My faith is not as big as his. But guess what? When James was writing the chapter in prayer, and he said Elijah was a man like us, with a nature like us, with passions like ours, he was not thinking about chapter 18. He was thinking about chapter 19. Elijah was a man just like you and like me. He had emotions. He had to deal with them. And just like him and us, there can be discouragement. There can be a sense of loneliness and a lack of purpose. And we can get to that point where Elijah was, to be completely and utterly depressed. Now, let me ask you a question. Was Elijah a believer? That's not a difficult question. Thank you. Yes, right? Elijah was a believer. Was Elijah depressed? Oh, yes. Did Elijah want to die at that point in his life? He just said so. Lord, take me. Like, he knew he did not have the authority to take his own life. But he did ask the Lord, Lord, I'm done. I don't want anything else. Take me. He was at that point, at that very low point. So how does he deal with it? Well, guess what? He couldn't deal with it. There was nothing that Elijah could do on his own. He had not any energy. He had no emotions. He had nothing to give, and he had given it all. He was working hard. You know, before he got to that point in Mount Carmel, he had walked and walked and walked miles. He had waited for 3 years, running away from soldiers to catch him. He had lived with a widow. He had seen the widow's son die and prayed for a resurrection. He had confronted all these people. He was there the whole day, mocking the prophets, then praying for the sacrifice, then slaying the prophets, then running behind Ahab's chariot. He was tired, and therefore he was very depressed, so he could do nothing. But guess what? God could. And I want you to look at me at the beautiful way in which God deals with Elijah, because this is how God deals with you. This is what God promises to do for us as well. This is where you can have hope, and this is what you can expect God to do in the future. So as we continue reading in chapter 19, go to verse 5. And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. Now, there's some things that are not very profound and extremely deep, but are very logical that God does with Elijah, right? What is the first thing that God allows Elijah to do in order to restore his emotions? What is the first thing that Elijah does? He goes to sleep. So you see, that's why I'm saying it's very spiritual to sleep. So not right now. Don't be spiritual right now, please. But this was a very spiritual thing to do, because Elijah was burned out. And sometimes, guys, after we've had a very long semester, after a week of very difficult finals, after a battle with sin that we've endured very longly, we feel tired. And we feel that our emotions are wavering. And we feel like we don't want to do anything else. Guess what? One of the first provisions that God has for us, it's a God-given, beautiful gift. Rest. Sleep. I know. We don't want that gift during IBF. But it is a beautiful gift, you know, because we need rest. We need to understand that we are not God, that we are limited. And please understand what resting means. Resting is one of the moments where you are the most vulnerable in all of the day. You have no action. You have no decisions. You're just lying there. And you're just trusting that God will protect you. And you're just resting. Do you lack rest in your life? Are you doing too much? Do you have so much pressure and that's never being let off? Let me tell you, if your emotions are getting the best of you, maybe the first thing you need to do is to rest in the Lord, is to be able to get some rest. Now look at what God does. There's a sequence, right? So Elijah falls asleep, and then an angel comes and gives him this powerful sermon that Elijah hears, and then he's raised up, right? No. What does the angel provide? Food and water. So flat bread, baked there on the coals, you know, and water. Nice pizza and Mountain Dew, if you want to take it that way. But it's food, it's nourishment. And what does Elijah do after he eats? He falls asleep again. You're like, what is going on, right? What is this spiritual man doing? And then he wakes up, and what happens again? There's more food that God is providing to nourish this person. Now, take a look at what the angel says. Why does Elijah need this food? Look at the end of verse 7. Arise and eat, for the journey is what? Too great for you. Too great for you. And he rose and he ate and he drank. And something supernatural happened here, guys. After he slept those two times, after he ate those two times, look at the end of verse 8. He was able to go in the strength of that food. How many days? 40 days and 40 nights. That was good pizza. 40 days and 40 nights? Is that natural? No, that is supernatural. God had a journey prepared for Elijah. He was not out of the blues yet. He still needed him to do something. He still needed to get there. But who provided the nourishment that Elijah needed in order to get to the point where God wanted him? Who gave him that? God did, right? And here's the deal. When you are in the bottom floor and you're down in the blues, you have a God that is caring for you and that is ready to provide the nourishment that your soul needs in order to go all the way to where he wants you to be. And that's a special. I know it doesn't seem too deep, but it's very profound. Because when we have emotions that are failing, the thoughts that are constantly coming to our mind are thoughts of failure, are thoughts of giving up, are thoughts of I cannot do this anymore. And that's one sentence coming back and back and back. I cannot do this anymore. And guess what? You are correct. He could not do it in his own strength. He needed to be strengthened by the Lord. So the first thing that I want you to remember, whenever you're feeling discouraged, when your emotions are taking the best of you, when you feel like you don't want to continue in the walk of faith because it's been hard, because you have failed, because you're not receiving the results you expected, is remember this. It's okay to feel that way, but God has nourishment prepared for you. Rest in God and allow God to give you that. Now, that nourishment can come in so many different ways. It can be actually physical. Like, it can literally be a day of rest at home, and then next morning you're like, what was I thinking? I'm ready for battle. It could be a friend that comes along your side and listens to you and prays for you. And then you're like, yeah, okay, I can go on. It can be a sermon. It can be a psalm. It can be so many different things that God can provide. Because God is so creative, guys. And he never does the same thing twice. But what he has done in the past is a sign of what he will do in the future. So he can do many, many, many things. But trust in this. God will provide nourishment. Now, what do you do when not only your heart fails, but also when your faith is failing? Has that ever happened to you? Not only you're doubting that you can go on, but you're doubting God himself? Keep reading with me. Let's go back to chapter 19 and verse 9. There he came to a cave and lodged in it, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, look at what Elijah says. I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God host,
For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, throw down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword, and I, even I, only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Do you see what's the problem in Elijah's head? He doesn't have the results that he was expecting, right? Like, what was Elijah expecting to happen after the 450 prophets were killed there in that Mount Carmel? Absolute and complete victory, right? But what does he get? He gets a death sentence and a threat from Queen Jezebel herself. And that's what brings Elijah down. Like, wait a minute. I thought I was doing things right. Like, I just gave it my best effort, and this is what I get. These are the results. And I'm all alone, God, and now they want to kill me, and they want to kill my life. Why am I doing this? Why in the world am I doing this? Why am I alone if I could be with friends? Why am I making so many sacrifices for you, God, and not receiving any results? Why? And Elijah's faith was in a point of breaking. You know, he was trusting. He was seeking. He knew he wanted to be with God, but it was hard to trust at that point. Now, take a look at that. Even the mighty doubt. And that's great for us. I found great comfort in knowing that a man of the stature and faith of Elijah had a moment like this. And the reason I find great comfort in that is because, like I told you yesterday, I am an honest believer that each and every one of you here in this room can be an Elijah for God in different places that God has placed you. And the reason I say that is because I believe you don't have to be perfect. It's because I believe that God is not expecting you to be perfect, and that sometimes you will doubt, and that sometimes you will be discouraged. But if you persevere in the faith that you have, God will give you his grace and his nourishment to keep doing great things for the Lord. Now, look at how God deals with Elijah's lack of faith and his doubt of purpose. Verse 11. Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. There's a beautiful scene here. I love this. And behold, the Lord passed by a great and strong wind toward the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face on his cloak, and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even only I, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go. Return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be the king of Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi you shall anoint to be the king of Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat and Abel-Meholal you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." And then Elijah stands up and goes on his way. And you're left like, what? Wait a minute. What just happened with all the sadness and all the depression and all the self-pity that Elijah was having here? What is going on? Well, take a look at this. Elijah didn't need a lot of answers. Elijah needed the presence of God. Elijah didn't receive an answer or a direct revelation to what he was feeling. Elijah had a real encounter with the living God. And it's so beautiful the way God does it. Like he starts, like he says, Elijah, what are you doing here? He asks that same thing twice. You see that? He starts like, why are you here? And Elijah's complaining to him, and he says all these things. And how does God respond? Like, come here. Stand here. I'll come by. Now, if you're like me, you would have expected God to be on the earthquake, on the strong wind that broke the mountain apart, or on the big fire. Because that's how we're looking for God, isn't it? Especially when we're down and depressed. What do we want to see? We want to see a sign. We want to see God real. We want to be God like, God, if you're real, like, talk to me. Like, you know, like, send me a text. Like, do something, God, because I really need to hear from you. We want God to manifest himself in these powerful and amazing ways. That's our expectation, isn't it? And that was Elijah's expectation too. He was expecting this God, the God of Israel, to manifest himself and take away all his doubt. But systematically, God shows Elijah, big wind, rocks are falling. And guess what? The Lord was not there. This earthquake rumbling all around him, and the Lord was not there. The fire that burns everything, and the Lord was not there. Where was the Lord found? In a whisper, in the silence. Now let me go through this, because I think it's really important, guys. What if the reason that you're not finding God and that you're not seeing God as real in your life is that there's too much noise around you and you're not able to hear the whisper of his presence? Because maybe God is not manifesting to you as an earthquake, a fire, or a big revelation. Maybe what God wants you to do is to stay still, to be quiet, and to know that he is God, and to be able to hear his voice, his tender voice, that will be so real and will be so powerful that will give you the energy that it gave to Elijah to go on. But guess what? What do you need to hear a whisper? You need to hear silence, right? Now, let's make a little experiment right now, okay? Let's see. All the way in the back in the corner. I'm going to whisper something to you, okay? Now, let's see if you can hear it. Could you hear that? What is it? No idea. Okay. It's very difficult. Why is it difficult right now to hear that whisper? There's silence, right? But what's going on? Very good. He's what? He's too far away. Okay, let's keep at it, okay? I'm going to ask you to come down a couple of steps, maybe all the way down over to that corner. I'm going to get close because God gets close to us as we get close to him. I'm going to try to whisper it again, okay? And I need silence, all right? If I hear snoring, be careful. It's going to be a lot of silence, so don't snore. Could you hear it? What did I say?
All right, all right.
That's great. Okay, one last one. Okay, one last one. Now, I'm going to stand here. Now, we're closer. This should be easier. Now, I'm going to need every single one of you to make some noise. Whatever you want to do, okay? If you want to clap, talk, say Psalm 119 if you're very spiritual and you know it. But whatever you do, just do some noise. One, two, three, go for it. All right, thank you. Did you get anything? No, I didn't. Thank you so much. A big hand for him. Now, what I want to show you there, it's a very easy way to see spiritual realities in our life. Why do you think we don't listen to the voice of God? Sometimes it's because we're far away and we need to draw near to him. James says, draw near to him and he will draw near to you. And maybe you've been far away. Maybe you have systematically taken decisions and choices where you have chosen other things, other people, other habits than God. And guess what? That puts you very far away. So if you want to hear the powerful and restoration voice of God in your life, what do you have to do? You have to come closer. You know, what are some things you can do to start coming close to God that you have left aside doing? You know, how's your quiet time? Is it mechanical? Is it the to-do list of I'm a believer or my dad is watching me and I need to, you know, let him see that I'm reading my Bible? Or are you having a real desire to have an encounter with God and you're coming close to him? Now, on the second time, I was closer to him. He was close to me, but he couldn't listen because there was what? So much noise. So much noise. Guys and gals, how much noise is there around you? How many distractions do you have? Let's be honest. Can you really focus on your quiet time and your cell phone while there are Facebook notifications and other social media stuff coming up every 5 seconds or 1 minute, depending on how popular you are? I don't know. Can we really focus on God when there's many distractions around us, sports and people and things, and just noise all around us? Can we quiet them down? You know, and I'm not saying, you know, become a hermit, go to a mountain, and then don't have any noise around you. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we have the ability to turn the volume down every now and then, to turn off the notifications, to get on airplane mode, to quiet down everything else, and to just be alone for more than 1 minute with God and focus on him. So when our faith fails, it is the presence of God that restores. Because that's what happened to Elijah. The presence of God reminded him. And not only that, God gave him a message. He gave him a purpose. Now, these things that God told him, go anoint this guy, anoint this guy. These are very interesting things. He's saying, anoint this guy as the king of Judah. What does that mean? There will be the promise of the Messiah is still there. The Messiah is still coming. I'm still working on Israel, Elijah. It's not over. Go anoint another person as the king of Israel. What does that mean? I know Ahab is an evil guy, and I am going to finish him. And a new person from a new family will arise, and he will replace Ahab. So God has a victory. And go and anoint Elisha. What does that mean? What you have done is not going to go to the toilet. There is a continuation for your work. Someone else will continue. The prophet of the God will still be there when you are not. And this is God assuring Elijah, Elijah, you can continue. Because I am at work. Not because you're great, Elijah. Not because you can do great things, but because I am at work. And I'm going to still use you to anoint these three people. Get up and let's go. And that's enough. That is enough for him. Why? Because we have a God. Oh, man. We have such a beautiful and an amazing and a powerful God. A God that never fails. I'm going to ask for the music team to come up and get ready as we are getting ready to wrap this up. Why can we have this idea or hope of being restored? Guys, because the God, the Lion of Judah, the warrior is with us. Not because we're so mighty, no, because we're so great, but because God is a God who can be there for us. Guess what? You will get tired, but we have a God who never does. Your heart will fail, but guess what? God's heart is ever steady. He's called the Rock for a reason, right? Not Dwayne Johnson, the Rock, but the Rock of Israel. The real rock that can never be moved. Now, I want you to join me one last verse, a couple of verses. They're in the book of Isaiah in chapter 40. These verses have sustained me oh so many times when I have been down. Go to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. This is my God, and this is your God. Isaiah 40, verse 28 says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to us, to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. That is our God. That is the God who is here for you tonight. Now stand up as we sing this song one more time. If we could move the lyrics to the song we had at the beginning, the first song we had. After we've heard this, after we read this verse, maybe this song will mean even more to us. And I want us to remember that that God is there for us and with us, always there. And because he's there with us, we can go on.
There's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. When I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire. Standing next to me, there was another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there is a cross that bears the burden where another died for me. There is another in the fire. Holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there is a cross that bears the burden where another died. There is another in the fire. Dead left for dead beneath the waters. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. And should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this reckoning? Either way, I won't bow to the things of this world. I know. And I know I will never be alone. There is another in the fire standing next to me. There is another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding, will power set me free? There is a grave that holds no. The power lives in me. There is another in the fire. Oh, there is another in the fire. Oh, there is another in the fire. Oh, there is another in the fire. In the darkness, as the darkness bows to him, I can hear the roar in the heavens, as the space between within, I can feel the ground shake beneath us, as the prison walls cave in. Nothing stands between us, nothing stands between. There is no other name but the name that is Jesus. He who was and still is and will be through it all. So come with me in the space between all the things unseen and this reckoning. I know I will never be alone. I know I will never be alone. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me, I'll count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be. I can see the light, I can Count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you be. I'll count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you be. I'll count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you be.
Close your eyes for 1 second and let me remind you, you are not alone. You are not alone. The mighty and powerful God, creator of the universe, is with you. And he has promised in his Son, Jesus Christ, that he will be with us until the end of the days. And when you are down, and when your heart fails, and when your faith fails, remember what Elijah was reminded of. That God is right there beside you. That he's never left your side. And that his presence will restore you. That your strength will be renewed by him. And although your heart fails, and although your strength is not enough, he is the mighty God. He is the powerful God who will give you his strength so that you can carry on, continue on to love him, to grow in him, and to accomplish great things for him. Lord, we bow down before you. You are God. The Lord is God. There is no one else. Lord, we thank you that you love us in such a mighty and powerful and undeserving way. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being for us. Thank you for loving us so much that you send your one and your only Son to give his life for us. And if you've given your Son, how will you not give everything else you need? Thank you that your love secures us and your presence restores us. God, I pray for those who are weak this evening. I pray for those whose faith is failing. I pray for those who are wavering between Baal and Yahweh, that today will be a night of commitment. That today will be a night of standing firm. That tonight will be a night where they can hear the whisper of your voice telling them, I love you. I am God. There's no one else besides me. Will you bring our hearts back to you, to your real worship, God? Would you use us, God? Here we are. Fill us with strength and with might and with faith that we do not possess, but you have in abundance, so that we can go out of here and be Elijahs for you. Be people that are courageous. Be people that are faithful. Be people that confront this world and that can bring others to declare what we know in our hearts, although we don't live it every day, what we know in our hearts, although sometimes it's hard to say, the Lord is God, and there is no other. We praise you, and we love you, and we adore you, and we ask, oh Lord, I plea, don't let this word of you go in vain. Bring about change. Bring about commitment. Bring about love for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you.